20. In verse 4 and 5, Paul says this, I persecuted this way to the death, binding and putting both men and women into prison, and also the high priest and all the council of the elders can testify. From them I also received letters to the brethren and started off to Damascus in order to bring even those who were in Jerusalem as prisoners to be punished. He wasn't satisfied just to have them from one city, but to go to town after town after town and drag them off, binding them, putting them in prison. And then in chapter 26, he again talks about what he did in Acts chapter 26 and verse 9. He says, so then I thought to myself that I had to do many things hostile to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And this is just what I did. In Jerusalem, not only did I lock up many of the saints in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, but also when they were being put to death, I cast my vote against them. And I punished them often in the synagogues and tried to force them to blaspheme. And being furiously enraged at them, I kept pursuing them even to foreign cities. Do you get the picture? This man's heart is just filled with anger, with rage. Can't get rid of enough of these people who are followers of this Jesus. Going in a furious rage from town to town, city after city. I worked construction for a while. I have to remember my microphone's over here. I worked construction for a while, and from time to time I would hear people using the name Jesus Christ as a curse word. You may have heard that. In fact, one occasion a man was saying Jesus Christ as a curse word, and I said, oh, you know him? And the man said, no, who? He looked at me like I was crazy. And I said, Jesus, I heard you talking about him. I said, he's my Lord and Savior. Whee! I won't tell you what he said. It'd make the air blue. Well, Saul of Tarsus was doing his best or worst to get the Christians to blaspheme the name of Jesus, to curse Jesus. This is what he wanted them to do, hauling them off to prison. Now, notice what he says here. So I thought to myself I had to do many hostile things, and this is just what I did. Having received authority from the chief priests, and also when they were being put to death, I cast my vote against them. Now, in the Greek culture, when a person was on jury and they could cast a vote, if they cast a vote that this person that was being tried was guilty, condemned, should be put to death, the person would drop a black stone. That was his vote. That black stone said, I vote for the death of this person. He is condemned, he is guilty, he is charged, and he should be put to death. Paul says, I cast my black stone. Pay attention to that because I'm going to come back to that in a while. As he did for Stephen here as well. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 13, Paul says that I persecuted the church and his goal was to destroy it. I have this image here, Saul, going up and knocking on the door, pulling the pin out of a hand grenade and lobbing it in the door. Bow! Imagine if someone did that to this church. What would be left? Not too much. Well, that was Paul's whole goal in his life at that point, to destroy the church, to make havoc of it, whatever he could do to get rid of these people who were followers of this Jesus. He hated Jesus. He hated the followers. He wanted to get rid of them. And so he said, I made havoc of that church. Now, notice in 1 Timothy chapter 1 how he describes himself. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 14. Well, verse 12, rather. He says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me in the ministry, even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, a violent aggressor. And yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. How about these three words describe the kind of a person Saul was? A blasphemer, a persecutor, and a violent aggressor. You can just see what his heart is like, how much he hated these people these followers of Jesus. But then something happened to this man who was one bad hombre. Something happened to him. Acts chapter 9 tells us that as he was on his way to Damascus, the capital of Syria, that he had an encounter that changed his life. He met Jesus. And Saul, still breathing out threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for a letter from him from the synagogue at Damascus, so if he found any belonging to the way, that is, followers of Jesus, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And it came about that as he journeyed, he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And he fell on the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and it shall be told you what you must do." Well, he had an encounter with Jesus Christ that eventually takes this man who hates Jesus and makes him a man who loves Jesus. Takes him a man who wanted to destroy the church to a man who spent the rest of his life building the church. Now, if you claim that you haven't had an encounter with Jesus and your life is not changed, there's something radically wrong. You cannot meet Jesus in a faith experience without having your life radically changed. You can never be the same person. I was a young man raised in a Christian Science home, taught the teachings of Mary Baker Eddy, that sin is only an illusion of mortal mind, that death is not real, that God is an abstract principle of divine science. I was taught all those things. For 8 years, I went to a Christian Science church. And then one day, somebody paid my way to go to a Christian Service Brigade camp right over here in Dover, New Jersey, in Randolph, New Jersey, where the Morris County College is now. Used to be the Dalrymple Farm. And they rented that farm 2 years in a row and invited boys to come and hear the truth of God's Word. And somebody paid my way. Right now, if you go to that camp, it costs $400 a week. It was $40 when I went, if you can believe that, $40. And somebody paid that. I never found out. No one ever told me who paid my $40 to go to camp. But at that camp, this Christian Science boy heard the gospel for the first time. That God is not divine science. God is a Father in heaven who loves me and who sent his son to die for my sin. Dr. James Kennedy, I took his training program down in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and he gave some amazing statistics. He gave these statistics. He said, if you were just to commit three sins a day, that is, three times a day you lost your temper, had some unclean thoughts, impure thoughts, maybe you fought with your wife, maybe you disobeyed your parents, on and on. Just three a day, that's all. In a week, you would have committed 21 sins. Well, that's not too bad. But in a year, you would have committed 1,000 sins. And in 5 years, you would have committed 5,000 sins. And in 10 years, you would have committed 10,000 sins. Do I need to go on? I won't tell you how old I am, but I'm past 50, past 60, past 70. Imagine the amount of sin that has been in my life. If there had not been another sinner on the planet Earth, it would have taken the death of God's Son, Jesus, to get you to heaven. Think about that. If there hadn't been another sinner on this planet Earth except you, my friend, it would have taken the death of God's Son to get you to heaven. And me as well. Well, Saul had his name changed and he no longer was known as Saul. He now became Paul. Paul the Apostle. Paul the Preacher. Paul the Man of God. Called himself the least of all the apostles. Terrible sinner. But I'm so glad to tell you today that he was not too bad for God to save him. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Revelation chapter 2. I want to show you a verse there. I hope you'll remember this verse. Underline it. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 17. You find it, everybody? Revelation 2, 17. It says this. This is the Lord speaking. He says, "He who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, to him I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and a new name written on the stone which no one knows." Remember, I showed you a black stone before. Black stone meant that person's condemned. The white stone means no condemnation, not guilty. Romans chapter 8, 1 says, "There is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus." Jesus said, "I'm going to write your name on that piece of white stone." And what that means is you are not condemned. You are not guilty. To be justified in the sight of a holy and all righteous God means that I stand before Almighty God as if I've never committed one sin in my whole life. That blows all the circuits of my mind. Wow, Lord, how is that possible? Because of the sufficiency of the death of Jesus Christ, God can accept me in Jesus' righteousness as if I've never committed one sin in my whole life. And that's possible for every single person here today. The death of Jesus Christ is sufficient to pay the penalty for the 5 billion people on the face of the earth if they will fall on their knees, confess their sin, and ask Christ to come into their life and make the kind of change that Saul experienced. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature, a new person, a new creation. I'm asking you today, is your name written down on the white stone? It says, no condemnation, not guilty, no sin, because Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but Jesus washed it white as snow. I'm going to write your name down on a white stone, Jesus said, because you are not guilty in the sight of a holy and all righteous God. And where are you today? Is the black stone your condition? Condemned? Found guilty? As charged? Romans chapter 3 says, "There's none righteous, no, not one." Not one. That includes you and me. But there is forgiveness with Jesus. It's a wonderful thing to know that if we confess our sin, that a holy and a righteous God is faithful and just to forgive us of every single sin we've ever committed, if we'll ask him. And believe that Jesus paid it all. When he hung on that cross, his death was sufficient to pay the sin of all mankind, including you and me. There's a new name written down in glory, the song says. Is that name yours? Do you have your name written on a white stone by Jesus because you are not condemned? Saul of Tarsus was really a bad yokel, bad egg. But praise God, he wasn't too bad for the grace of God to save him. I'm glad to tell you today that there's no single person, I don't care how wicked your life has been, how bad the sin that you might have done, that if you will confess that sin, God will forgive, God will cleanse, and God will make you a whole new person and give you a whole new life and a whole new purpose. I had planned to be a chemical engineer when I graduated from high school. I love science. I love chemistry. That was my goal. God turned me right around and said, "No, Jim, I want you to be a minister for me. I want you to go and tell people about the grace that I've given to you." And for 45 years, I've been doing that because I want others to experience the grace of God that I have known all these many years. As a lad of 13 years old, I came to Christ and serving the Lord since then. And you can know the joy, the peace to know that when this life is over, you know, and I have a lot of funerals, and there isn't much I can say at a funeral of a person who has never accepted Christ. I can't say, I know that person's in glory today. I know that person's with the Lord. I wish I could say that. But my mind tells me, no, I can't say that. My heart tells me, no, you can't say that, because unless they're born again, they don't go to heaven. There's a new sign, billboard out on Route 4057. I'm not sure who's paid for the cost. They cost about $1,500 a month. But it says, where are you going when you die? To hell or to heaven? Well, that puts it about as blunt as you can get it. Praise God for the person who paid for that. Because it certainly has to cause the drivers to stop and think, you know, this life's going to be over one day. And we have no guarantee. Even this preacher, I can't guarantee you I'll be here tomorrow. But I guarantee you this, I know where I'll be tomorrow if I'm not here with the Lord in heaven. Paul says to be absent from this body is to be at home with the Lord when you know Jesus. Do you have that kind of assurance today? You can have it. If you simply childlike faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, confessing your sin, repenting of that sin, coming to Christ, God will hear the feeblest, faintest cry. And he will receive you into his family. And today you will become a child of God by faith. Let's pray together. Our Father, we praise you for the account of Saul of Tarsus, a man who we might think is too bad, too wicked, too evil to become a Christian. And yet, O God, in your grace, your mercy, you brought him to yourself. You changed his life. You made him a whole new person, a child of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, a builder of the church. And Lord, I would ask for any man, any woman here today who's never received Jesus Christ as his Lord or Savior, that today, Lord, you might bring that one, just like you brought Saul to know you. You might bring that man, that woman, to know you and to love you, to serve you. And we'll thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Pastor. We're going to sing as our closing hymn, different than what's in the bulletin, of 366. 366, which is, I surrender all. That's what Jesus asks you to do. I know it's easy at this time of day as you approach noon. It's easy to think about appointments, isn't it? What else am I going to do with the rest of my day? But I hope you're thinking about your divine appointment that you have right now to fully surrender and to become a child of God through faith. You can do that through your prayers, thoughts, counseling with someone, but just simply asking God to forgive you, like was suggested, just like Paul had to do also, and tell him that you believe that he died on the cross and rose again for you. Tell him that you want him to be the new boss, the new Lord of your life. You can do that even as we pray. If you are thinking about making that decision, it's real important to talk to somebody to kind of seal that decision and get some direction. So make yourself known to me or to someone else who you know. Let's stand to sing 366.